This is Your Calls One Planet series. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to discuss the EPA's decision to allow new pesticides containing forever chemicals to be used on dozens of crops, from potatoes to citrus fruits. Forever chemicals are a class of about 16,000 compounds most frequently used to make water stain and grease resistant products. They have been linked to cancer, birth defects, decreased immunity, high cholesterol, kidney disease, and a range of other serious health problems. They're dubbed forever chemicals because they do not naturally break down in the environment. Joining us to talk about this decision is Mariah Blake, an investigative journalist whose work has appeared in many publications, including the New York Times and the New Republic. Mariah Blake's new book is called Poisoned the World, Life and Death in the Age of Forever Chemicals. Hi, Mariah. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Hi. Thank you for having me on and for drawing attention to this issue.
Well, it is great to have you. Trump's EPA from day one has removed almost all environmental and health guardrails that we depend on to safeguard our health and the health of the environment. Can you talk about how alarming this decision is to allow new pesticides containing forever chemicals to be sprayed on our food?
It's really hard to overstate the implications for public health. I mean, as you said, these chemicals are being sprayed directly on our food. The science is very clear on what happens when PFAS or forever chemicals are applied to food or food is exposed to them. Crops readily absorb them, specifically the most edible parts of crops, so the fruits, the leaves. And, you know, every PFAS that has been studied has been shown to be toxic. So that's one dimension of the problem. We are going to be applying highly toxic chemicals directly to our food. And these are chemicals that don't break down in the environment and that also accumulate in human bodies. But I think in this case, it's particularly alarming because the pesticides that have been approved. So two have been approved already, and there are four more that are set to be approved, pesticides that contain forever chemicals or PFAS. And some of these pesticides break down into a particular type of forever chemical known as TFA. And TFA, I came across a document in my research that shows that TFA has a half-life of 1 million years in the environment.
Wow.
So that is way longer than plutonium. We're talking about a timescale that is more akin to nuclear waste. So this doesn't just have implications for our health in the immediate future. It has implications for the health of future generations.
So if we think about pesticides that are being sprayed on our food today, how do these pesticides differ? Why would farmers or multinational corporations that grow our food that use pesticides decide to use these pesticides with forever chemicals instead of the pesticides they're using now? Do you know?
Well, I think one of the reasons is that because, you know, the thing that defines or one of the defining characteristics of PFAS is that they are very stable. So they don't break down in the environment. But that, you know, that stability, the fact that is an asset, I think, in the view of pesticide manufacturers. But yeah, I don't fully understand the logic. So in some cases, the PFAS is the active ingredient. So the toxicity may be seen as a plus when it comes to killing pests. But you know, they are more likely to stay where you put them.
And let's talk about the health effects of this, because so much science has been conducted. You write about so much of this in your book. Can you talk more about the health effects of these forever chemicals?
Well, you know, there's only a handful that have been thoroughly studied, and those chemicals have been linked to a long list of diseases, including various types of cancer, thyroid disease, birth defects, reduced IQ, problems with the immune system, obesity. The list is very long and varied. You know, so as you said, there are more than 10,000 of these chemicals, and everyone that has been studied has at least some of the properties, it causes at least some of the same health problems as the best studied ones. But you know, it's hard to know. There's limited data on the ones that are being applied to our crops at this point in time. But we do know that they break down into TFA, and there is compelling evidence that TFA, which is a type of forever chemical, is harmful. It's damaging to fertility, to development of fetuses. It causes hormone disruption, liver damage, altered immune system function. So, you know, the science is still developing, but I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we want to be spraying our food with chemicals that do not break down and that belong to a class that is known to be extremely harmful to human health and the environment before we fully investigated the health effects of these chemicals?
In a statement, Bridget Hirsch, the EPA's press secretary, said TFA is less toxic than other PFAS, forever chemicals, and that the agency's scientists have thoroughly reviewed the new product's safety. Hirsch said criticism is from partisan organizations that were silent when the Biden administration approved similar pesticides. What are your thoughts on that statement?
Well, it's absolutely not true. So scientists right now are sounding the alarm about TFA. It has only really recently come onto scientists' radar in a major way because they didn't have the tools to detect it in the environment. But now, as they develop the tools, they're realizing that it's more abundant in the environment than all other PFAS combined. So there's a higher level of concern about this chemical now than there was during the Biden administration because of the sheer volume that's in the environment. And it is true that there is less data on the health effects of this chemical than there are on some of the better studied PFAS, but that's only because it hasn't been studied as thoroughly. And the data that does exist is extremely concerning. And as I said, this is a chemical that takes millions of years to break down in the environment. And there's pretty strong evidence that it's a reproductive toxicant. So if it could potentially affect human reproduction, do we want to be spraying it on our food?
We're speaking with Mariah Blake, investigative journalist, author of They Poisoned the World, Life and Death in the Age of Forever Chemicals. We're talking about the EPA's decision to allow new pesticides containing forever chemicals to be used on our food, from potatoes to citrus fruits. Mariah, is there any way of knowing when we buy food if they've been sprayed with these pesticides containing forever chemicals?
No, there's no way of knowing. And I think because these chemicals, one, they persist in the environment for a long time, and two, they're highly mobile. So even organic fruits and vegetables are likely to be affected down the line. Mm. So there is no way for people to know if this pesticide has been applied. And it will eventually, these chemicals will move through the environment. So they'll get into people's drinking water. They will be in soil far from the sites where these chemicals are actually applied. So the implications go beyond just the food that we're eating today or next year or 5 years down the line.
You know, I have to say, what's crazy about this, Mariah, is the people who are approving this are also eating this food. I mean, they know about the health effects. How do you wrap your head around that?
You know, I don't have a good answer to that question. I have grappled with it. But I think that, you know, in the case of, for example, currently the EPA, you have all of the top people in the Office of Chemical Safety are former industry lobbyists. So they have taken large sums of money from industry to protect industry's interests. You know, and so the person overseeing pesticide regulation at the EPA was a longtime agricultural lobbyist who fought to kill restrictions on toxic pesticides when he was in the private sector. So these are people who have a financial stake in, you know, in seeing these pesticides approved. And that is as close as I can come to understanding their motivations.
To your point, according to the Center for Biological Diversity, under the Trump administration, the pesticide office is now controlled by two former lobbyists for the American Chemistry Council, Nancy Beck and Lynn DeCleva, and one former lobbyist for the pro-pesticide American Soybean Association, Kyle Kunkler.
Yeah, and that's the Office of Chemical Safety and Pollution Control. So that oversees all, you know, the entire sphere of chemical safety. But Kunkler, he oversees pesticide regulation. So the former lobbyist for the soybean industry, the pro-pesticide soybean industry, he is playing a major role in making these decisions.
We should also talk about the fact that the EPA recently proposed relaxing a Biden-era rule that requires companies to report data on products containing forever chemicals. If enacted, companies would no longer have to disclose information on PFAS that were used as a minor ingredient or were created for research or development purposes. Can you talk about the significance of this?
Yeah, so this is actually, it's far more complicated than that in a way that's very interesting. So this is actually a law that was passed in 2020 and signed by Trump during his first administration. And it requires manufacturers to report the types and quantities of PFAS they're using and to hand over internal data on their health and environmental effects. So it's a sweeping piece of legislation that would give us much better information about how widespread the use and emissions of PFAS are in this country, because right now we don't know. And so the Trump administration, which initially signed this bill into law, has repeatedly delayed implementation and then recently announced that it was going to water down the requirements and made it clear that the requirements could be watered down further. So this is also a major blow to public health, because the first step to addressing the problem is understanding the scope of the problem. And this measure would have allowed us to at least begin to understand the scope of the problem.
I'm curious, Mariah, have you been following the Make America Healthy Again movement? Because I know of a few people who were supporting MAHA because they thought RFK was going to ban these chemicals. You know, they're doing the exact opposite. And I haven't heard any outrage from MAHA. I've searched online. I can't seem to find anything. Have you heard or seen anything?
I haven't, but I would welcome that. I mean, so I will say that PFAS regulation is something that enjoys broad bipartisan support. And as a counterpoint to this deregulation that's happening on the federal level, you have a surge of state-level regulation that is supported by people of both parties and that is being sponsored by politicians of both parties. So this is an issue that spans the ordinary partisan divides. And I think we talked about this the last time I was on, but there are a number of red states that are weighing very strict regulations of PFAS. So banning of PFAS in sewage sludge, which is spread over agricultural lands, banning of PFAS in consumer products. These are extremely aggressive measures that have support from both sides of the aisle. So I don't really know where the MAHA movement is on this issue, but there is room for them. You know, the people who are fighting for restrictions on these chemicals would welcome them into the fold if they wanted to be active. And there is a very large and varied group of people who are fighting hard.
Well, in our remaining minutes, it's important to point out that California, a state where Democrats have the supermajority, they don't need one Republican vote to pass legislation. I'm reading from The Guardian right now. California farms applied an average of 2.5 million pounds of forever chemicals per year on cropland from 2018 to 2023, according to the Environmental Working Group. They say that the review's findings reveal an obvious problem. We know of every pound of forever chemicals presents a risk of contamination of our food, water, and soil, so it doesn't make sense to deliberately be spraying these on California's food. So this is already happening in California, where so much of our fruits and vegetables are grown.
Yeah, and it's extremely alarming. And I think, you know, part of the issue is that public and regulars weren't really aware of this, of the issue of PFAS in pesticides until relatively recently. And so, you know, a number have been approved over the years. But now that people are taking an interest in the issue, my hope is that, you know, that there will be more pressure to regulate PFAS and pesticides. And you already see it happening. So Maine, which has been on the forefront of this issue, has banned PFAS-containing pesticides. So hopefully California will take some steps in that direction as well.
And we should also say that the farm workers are just directly affected by all of this. We've done a lot of shows over the years about how their health is impacted by these pesticides. There's a new investigation in the LA Times by Robert Lopez with CalMatters called Lax Oversight, Few Inspections Leave Child Farm Workers Exposed to Toxic Pesticides. So there's just so many layers to this, Mariah, from what we eat to the effect on the soil to the farm workers who are picking these fruits and veggies for hours at a time every day?
Yeah, in farming communities. So there's bound to be severe contamination of drinking water in farming communities. So yes, you're right. There are a lot of layers to it. And I think a lot of reasons not to do this, not to spray PFAS-containing pesticides on our food.
Because it sounds like it's going to be unavoidable if you want to try not to buy the food with PFAS sprayed on it.
Yes. I mean, so we talked about this before, but there's already, you know, all over the world, there are levels of PFAS in rainwater that endanger human health and the environment. Because they're at such high levels in the environment already, and because they are so mobile, we are all being exposed to potentially harmful levels of these chemicals every day already. And so, yes, we will all be exposed to higher levels in food, but we will also all be exposed to higher levels in general, because these are huge quantities that are, you know, already being sprayed. You mentioned the California study. So between 2018 and 2023, nearly 15 million pounds of pesticides containing PFAS were sprayed on farmland in California alone. Wow. So that's just one state.
We're almost out of time, Mariah, but thank you so much for joining us. And we'll definitely have you back to continue this conversation.
Okay.
Mariah Blake is an investigative journalist. Her new book is called They Poisoned the World, Life and Death in the Age of Forever Chemicals. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.